Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. There are two hosts here, and I am one of them. My name is Kirk. I have a co-host.
Yeah, I'm Graham K. I'm the co-host. Boom. We're sitting across from each other.
Beautiful marble table.
Both living in New York. You're in my apartment. This is exciting. We're back at it.
This is a beautiful apartment. This might be your best apartment ever.
This is my best apartment ever.
Yeah.
I had a beautiful apartment in Toronto when I shared rent with a lady. Interestingly enough, I am paying the same amount of money for this studio apartment. I'm paying, actually, I guess a lot more than I was, now that you factor in American versus Canadian, than
it's
I was.
It's about 30%.
25. So, yeah. But anyway, the numbers are the same. And I had a one-bedroom in downtown Toronto, and this is a studio in Brooklyn. But it's a cool part of Brooklyn. It's nice.
Well, Brooklyn's New York City, arguably the best city in the world. Not the best. Arguably the world's capital. I'll say it like that.
Certainly.
New York or London, I'd say.
Yeah. And, probably New York. Bigger economy. And this is the Comedian's Guide to Economics. Kirk Smith has an autistic son, nonverbal, and I have an autistic brother somewhere in the middle of the spectrum. We're two comedians. We both live in New York City now. We used to live in L.A. We were split up, and now we're back together. We're not over the phone. It's
together
exciting.
Again.
We're going to make a point to not do it over the phone anymore because it's a little better like this.
Oh, it's way better. I talk over you so much.
Yeah, yeah. You have a huge problem. Anyway.
Ego.
Yeah. But this is, we're back. And so instead of doing a week in review, which is what we normally do, we're just going to read some fan letters. I'll start off.
I think it's a great idea. Sorry it's taking us so long to get these. Some of these are 5 months old.
Yeah, well, you know, we let them build up, and we pick the best ones.
We like to let them marinate.
Marinate. Anyway, this one is from Jonathan. It starts out with Graham. Exclamation point. That feels good. Graham! I hope this email finds you. This is for both of you and Kirk. I never send fan mails. Is this fan mail? Am I a fan? Yes, I guess I am. I live in Sweden and just happened to stumble upon Autastic, a comedian's guide to autism, after my son got his diagnosis. He's 4 years old. I've been such a dick as a father before it landed. Thankfully...
I'm going to edit that part out. Be such a little jerk.
Whatever. That's what he said. It's fine. We're adults. Thankfully, our relationship got much better after that. I guess after our podcast. Your podcast has been really helpful. You talk about autism with such warmth and love, still humorous. I really love it. And I have this smile on my face when I'm listening. Now seeing my kid as a really special kid, not like condescending special, more like I can't wait for all the crazy stuff, I'll edit that for you, that will happen. Being with you growing up. So let me read that again. More like I can't wait for all the crazy stuff that will happen, being with you and growing up. Probably taking care of you as an adult. I look forward to it, hearing your stories. Thank you from the depth of my heart. Thank you, Jonathan. P.S. Yes, of course, you get a P.S. As I'm backtracking, I hear episode 9, Kirk speaking Swedish. That's so funny, I actually laughed out loud. My wife is from the north, and I often make fun of her inhaling as a yes answer. Yeah, Swedish is really Transylvanian when I hear it from your point of view. That's awesome. Jonathan, that's a great email, great letter, and I'm happy that you're our fan. Don't feel bad about being a fan. It's great.
I thought it was great that the... I like the pointing out special, not like in special ed, but just special, like as in human special.
Yeah,
that's
not
great.
Like condescending. Oh, yeah. He's special. It's like, yeah, they make us better, and it's fun. There are fun parts of it.
Yeah, you know, it's beautiful. Life's beautiful.
Yeah.
Should I read one? Do we go back? Should we go back?
Let's go back and forth.
All right. Let's.
That way, the listeners can like really decide who reads better.
It's
or less terrible. Who's less terrible at reading out loud at a third grade level?
Listen, it's here are the grades. You give us either a 2 or a 3, and that means we either read at a second grade level or a third grade level. Those are your two options. Mm-hmm. This is Amanda S. I didn't say her last name. Boom.
Good for you.
For once. Hi, I've been listening to your podcast a lot this week. It's been so wonderful to hear these experiences that you guys have gone through and see so many similarities that I deal with. My daughter's 5, and she has several diagnoses. While it's been confirmed that she has autism, all of her therapists and myself agree she is autistic. So I'm informing myself, and we have been doing many interventions and therapies since she was two. Just listened to the interview with Dr. Casanova, and it was wonderful. I'd like to know more about his book, and what is the URL for his blog? Great question, Amanda. I will Google that after this finishes and send you my search. He does have a book and a blog, and so...
We'll post it on the Facebook page.
That's a great idea. We'll post it on our homepage for the old Facebook. That was in a series of the interviews that roving reporter Jill Escher did at that conference. Casanova, the one word I can say in that sentence.
Yeah. You can say Hispanic names. Is it my turn again?
Your turn.
Holy jumping. This one is from Pamela. Hi, guys. I'm a longtime listener and still love your podcast. Oh, thanks. And recommend it to many people. Thanks for gutting it out.
I think you did a weird intonation on that. I don't think she meant it like that. Longtime listener and love your podcast.
I'm just insecure. as a person who works with children who have autism, I come across two new things to me. I wonder if you or Jill, our roving reporter Jill Escher, has an insight on it. One, tomatis therapy is something that one of my students' moms has had him try. I think it was meant to increase communication, which it has with him, but he has now regressed. I have to look that up. I don't know what that is. Pans and pandas. This is number two. It's an acronym for Pediatric Acute Onset Neuropsychiatric Syndrome. I will not be saying that again. Which is associated with a variety of different infections, whereas pandas is a disorder associated with only streptococcal infections, specifically group A strep. Someone I know has a daughter who was diagnosed, and they thought she was autistic for years. It's not often diagnosed by many doctors. Both very interesting topics for you. Take care. So thank you, Pamela, for that. Very interesting. Now, we were talking about this before the show, Kirk, and I think it sort of leads into one of our articles, that we're going to do for in the news later on in this episode, if I'm not wrong. It's sort of, we were talking about how inflammation can cause autistic symptoms, right? Does this fall under that? Am I wrong in misunderstanding that?
I got to be honest. This is the first time I've heard of this PANS and PANDAS.
Yeah.
But you are right that in the news this week we're going to talk about inflammation, which seems to be a common thing we've discussed, because Jill Escher, who did those, we just posted another interview of hers. We've discussed this at length. That inflammation, in the brains seems to be something that that jumps out again and again. You know, this is our podcast. We can do whatever I want. We want. Do you want to do the? Should we do the in the news?
Well, we have.
We'll come
back
to the letters, or what do we know?
No. We'll keep reading letters.
All right.
We'll do it in order.
All right.
Well, thank you for that, Pamela. We will ask Jill. How about that?
That's not a terrible idea.
Yeah, we'll forward her your email.
Okay, here we go. Is it my turn to read?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, cool. All right, here we go. You read Bart, so then I'm supposed to read Amanda? Nope, I already read that.
I haven't read Bart. I've read Pamela.
You read Pamela. Okay, here we go. I'm reading Haley HK is her last initials. Hey guys, finally getting around to listening to the last podcast about the different levels of autism. I'd seen some of the younger moms, newbies in the autism world, quote unquote, talk about the children's level, and I had no idea what they're talking about. As you do, and as you do, you ignore it and deal with your kid getting into their experience and makeup again. I think I'm missing a verb in that sense. Doesn't matter. LOL. As far as the levels, I honestly have no idea where my son falls. He's almost 10 and seems to be in between a 1 and a 2, depending on his mood and current progress. He makes great eye contact with us, verbalizes simple sentences, 2 or 3 word phrases of things that he wants. He is potty trained, fights for some independence, and truly looks at us as if he has 1,000 things going on in his head that he can't say. His autism is likely due to a birth injury. That's what she says. Never heard of that before. Lots of, oh boy, echolalia, E-C-H-O-L-A-L-I-A. We call him our bumblebee, like the Transformers. He uses scripts in inappropriate ways to explain how he feels. Okay, that's about the echoing thing where they repeat back different movies and stuff. Peter does that. JJ does that.
Yep.
However, he does not wipe himself. He will literally pour my expensive beauty products in the sink and pretend to cook and dump all of it, our spices out. You get the picture. I don't know what these levels are going to help or help. I don't know if these levels are going to help or divide us as autism families, but at least I'm up to date on the cool autism terminology. Thanks so much for covering this and bringing us up to speed.
I feel the same way. Yeah. I could definitely picture the dumping
of spices
of
and
the
everything.
Spices and expensive. You know why? Because I've seen it. I've cleaned it up. Your brother made a mess. Clean it up. Oh, I'm busy. I'm cooking food. You want food or not? All right, Mom.
It is funny how there's like overlap of like different things that would be, some things would be a one and some things would put him on the more severe end, right? Because if he's 10, he's almost 10, so he's 9, and this letter is 6 months old, so he could be 10 by now, and he doesn't wipe himself, so that would be put him on more on the severe end. But the verbalizing the things, that put him on the less severe thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for that letter.
Beautiful letter. Yes, lovely.
I'll read this one. It's from Bart. Great podcast. Appreciate that, Bart. Appreciate the humor and empathy. I just found out I'm on the spectrum at age 53, and I'm trying to make sure I'm learning and trying many different approaches. Squatty Potty is a brand name. I found another, Sit and Squat. Works well and seems to help with fuller elimination, especially after a few days. Not sure if it treats any symptoms or would help with your family members. Challenges, everything I can do to help my gut health is worth trying. Thanks, Bart. Thanks, Bart. I have a bunch of friends who love it a lot.
Everybody in New York.
Yeah. Why everyone in New York?
I don't know, but I've been to like all the pizza? Half a dozen houses of friends and everybody's got it.
Yeah, a lot of comics have it, I guess, because I have friends who have travel squatty potties.
Wow.
Like folds up and they put it on their bed.
You know what makes me think of? We used to do this. I used to work in relocation 20 years ago. And we used to do signs for people coming from certain countries that would put in the temporary housing that would say, don't stand on the toilet.
Yeah.
And squat and poop and miss and hit the whole toilet seat, everything.
Yeah.
But turns out that probably would have been healthier.
Yeah.
For their bowels, because that's what they're doing basically, just squatting.
Yeah. So Squatty Potty is basically a footstool.
Yeah, on each sides of the toilet.
That fits around the bottom of the toilet. And
JJ uses it. Works good.
Oh, he uses it? And it helps with him?
Yeah, we covered it in episode, I think I want to say 92 or something. We had it, and so we tried it. We don't do the official Squatty Potty brand. We've got the one that's like just for your feet, and so it can adjust to different size toilets. It's not one piece. It's two individual like platform shoes kind of looking thing. And but he uses it.
Yeah.
It works good.
So I you know, it all goes down to the gut. The gut is affected to...
And inflammation
in the gut. And I have no idea if that is affected by your bowel movement once it's already passed through the colon or not. I'm not a doctor. But you don't want to be bunged up. And I know that some people with autism get a little bunged up there. My brother has zero problem with that.
Bunged up?
Well, backed up.
I've never heard of that. Maybe a Canadian thing.
Might be a Canadian thing.
Bung. Huh.
Yeah.
I like it.
Here's another Canadian thing.
What do you got?
Squatty Potty. It'll clear you out like a wire brush. Oof. Yeah. That's an old farmer's term. Real gross. Anyway, apologize for that. Anyway, Bart, good suggestion.
Like it.
Yeah. But, we did cover it in an earlier episode, and I'd like you to catch up, please. Just kidding.
I think that letter was from before we did the episode. That's how old the letter is.
No.
It doesn't matter. Here we go. Is it my turn to read? Oh, my goodness.
Bart, I apologize. You're the best. And good luck. Good luck. Congrats on the diagnosis and finding out. That's awesome.
I think you're right. This is Michelle.
I wonder if the next 10 years I'm going to find out.
That's the reveal in episode 200. We're almost there, guys.
Getting close, day by day.
Hey, it's from Michelle E. I found out your podcast last week and I'm listening to it every day. I'm from Australia and have three high-functioning autistic kitties. 13-year-old boy man, that's funny, boy slash man, a 7-year-old.
They are boy man.
Yeah. I think that's a good description for most of the people, men in New York too, but that's a different issue. And an almost 6-year-old girl. Love your podcast. A bit of a challenge, a bit of a change from the true crime podcast I usually listen to. Well, they both involve murder and defecation, I guess. I don't know.
Murder?
Well, JJ's murdering the things around him, and Peter murders his fish.
Peter murders fish, yeah.
I've learned so much from you guys. Love hearing about JJ and Peter. You guys are awesome. Oh, man. Thanks. I should read these letters more often when I feel sad.
Yeah.
Not sure if you've discussed this yet. I'm only at episode 71, but I would like to hear about early puberty and autism. My son started at 11, and at 13 is huge and already has a mustache. Just wondering if this is a common thing. Keep up the great work. You got this. And then she has a fist and a okay sign.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if I don't. In my experience, I haven't seen a lot of it. A quick Google search before this episode reveals that it is a bit of a thing. It's rare, but it does happen with people with autism. I couldn't find any results. Just sort of
studies.
Just medical studies that were pretty dense and different. Things that they could use. Honestly, I didn't find anything more than you could find. But you do have experience with this personally, right?
Yeah, JJ he probably hit 200 pounds at about, 13. He's a big boy, about 6 foot tall.
It's huge.
And he's got that mustache. The full lamb chop sideburns and the mustache.
He looked like he was 18 when he was 13.
Yeah, he looked like we're on a date sometimes. We're walking and holding hands.
Very interesting.
But
but it's interesting that in some people with autism, early puberty.
And he's big.
More so than in regular kids. Yeah. Peter's a big guy, too. My whole family's big. We're all monsters.
You are a big man. You got a big head. You got a big body.
Yeah,
big man.
A big head. My dad can't wear snapback hats. It's just a yarmulke with a brim.
That's funny. Is that true?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I lent him my hat. He's like, I forgot my hat. We went golfing, and he's bald, so he needs that,
a little protection.
It was sunny, so I gave him my hat. And it was just the snaps were just a formality. They're just dangling back there.
A lot of brand power going on up there.
Yeah.
I appreciate this letter. We're going to look into this. I think this could be an interesting in the news at some later point if we find something that titillates our interest.
Yeah.
That's great.
Should we do in the news?
Let's do in the news. Graham, you got something this week? Cue the music. You got a couple articles.
You got a couple articles.
What do you want to do first?
Inflammation and autism?
You got it, buddy.
Do you want me to read it?
I don't care. Either way. I'll read one. You read one.
Okay, I'll read one. Sure. Just because I'm reading today, even though you're the reader. This one is from medicalexpress.com. The title is Inflammation and Autism, an Important Piece of the Puzzle. Autism spectrum disorder has neither a distinct pathogenesis or pharmaceutical treatment. Yet evidence continues to mount demonstrating immune dysfunction and inflammation in specific brain regions children diagnosed with the neurodevelopmental condition. A collaborative group of researchers in Boston and Italy, interesting collaboration. Two hard accents. Anyway, has discovered a pro and anti-inflammatory cytokinase apparently play role. I'm sure I said that wrong. Apparently play roles in autism spectrum disorder, ASD. Yeah, we all know what it is. The team was able to prove a cascade of cytokinase is associated with autism by studying the postmortem brain tissue of 8 children who had been diagnosed with ASD prior to death. Sort of sad. Writing the proceedings of the Natural Academy of Sciences, Susan Lehman of Boston University, along with Irene Tissaloni and Thea... See, this is like... the Italian ones. Theo, Heresy, Theo.
You guys, if you only knew how much I'm enjoying this.
I mean, this is a name. Irene Cicolini, and this guy, this is his name. Theo Harris, C. Theo Herides. That is an all-time good name.
That's pretty good.
That is the best name we've read, I think, all
TCT. Just call him TCT for short.
This guy, he sounds... And guess what? You know what university he's in?
Tufts.
Yes! Theodosius sees Theo Herides of Tufts. TCT, Tufts. Boy, oh boy. Described cytokine influences that are unique in autism. I mean, this is a tough one. The scientists pinpointed interleukins, cytokines, that flourish in regions of brain association with behavior. Why don't I just say science stuff? I'll just say pinpointed science stuff and other science stuff that flourishes in regions of brain associated with behavior. Because that's what we want to know. We don't need to know. The persistent presence of inflammatory markers such as certain more science stuff, followed by more science stuff, provides telltale sign that inflammation plays an important role in autism. These scientists say, here we go, the data presented here highlights the connection between inflammation and autism spectrum disorder. Lehman and her colleagues reported that PNAS... Science, number sign, science, is increased along with pro-inflammatory science stuff. I'm getting an aneurysm reading this. Dorsolateral prefrontal cortex of children with autism spectrum disorder. The addition to the scientists from Boston University and Tufts, researchers from Harvard University and the University of Chieti in Pescara, Italy, participated in the groundbreaking investigation that identified the activity of interleukins and other biological active proteins in ASD. The investigators contend that their research paper produced an effort to quell the flow of pro-inflammatory proteins. This all could provide the first targeted medication for ASD. So basically, look, here's what I'm saying. You and I both don't know what I just read. But what they're saying is they are getting closer to neutralizing what the inflammatory issues are in the stomach that might cause ASD, which could lead us... We're closer to getting medication for autism spectrum disorder.
And the brain, stuff in the brain, right? I think the main paragraph is to prove that pro- and anti-inflammatory cytokines are active in the prefrontal cortex of the brain in children with autism spectrum disorder. The investigators compared their findings to specimens from children who had not been diagnosed with the condition. Samples from the controls showed no evidence of this. So they're comparing the prefrontal cortex of the brain for inflammatory and non-inflammatory cytokines. And they're different. So the ones with autism have them. So it's a step in the right direction to at least be able to identify what's happening. And then you could try to treat.
My respect for your intelligence has just gone up one grade. That was very concise. It was good. That was good. I had no idea what... I can't tell
if you're roasting me or not.
Listen, I read the article before, you know, and I skimmed it, and I was like, I got this. I'm reading it. I'm like, I don't know what the hell.
It's harder than it seems, huh?
I don't know what the hell I'm saying. That guy's name was awesome. It was awesome. Sir, I'm not making fun of your name.
TCT.
If you're listening, it's cool. You sound like a very smart... You sound like an author. Well, you are.
Or a DJ.
Yeah, or a DJ. The fact that you had to go to Tufts, you couldn't go anywhere else. I'm going to really screw with people and go to Tufts, this guy said to himself.
I thought you did a good job. It's a hard article. It's a lot going on in there.
I was brutal, dude.
It's a lot of words that we've never pronounced before.
And I apologize to all of our autastics listening.
We did have somebody who wanted to remain nameless that said they would offer to read some of our articles for us. Maybe we should take them up on that.
No way, man. I think there's some, there's, it's a little poetic that it sort of highlights my autism when I read it.
Well, I'll do the next one. There's another one coming up. This is a little more light-hearted, light-spirited. It's about
this is awesome.
Halloween.
This is awesome. I love this kind of stuff. It goes on with autism awareness. And let's get the word out before Halloween to help all of our friends who have autism and who are going to go trick-or-treating, all of our young buds. And older buds who are still doing it. Good for you.
Mom encourages, this is in USA Today and also in People Magazine and half a dozen other different publications, not Science Today, I'll tell you that. It says, Mom encourages blue candy buckets on Halloween to raise awareness for kids with autism.
I should have read this one. Man, USA Today.
Mom is trying something new to help
her grade reading level.
Son with autism have a more enjoyable Halloween experience. Her idea is picking up steam on social media. Omaris Taylor shared a Facebook post saying she's going to give her 3-year-old son, Luke, who's nonverbal, a blue bucket for Halloween trick-or-treating. She said that when she and her son went out for Halloween last year, people waited for him to say trick-or-treat before giving him candy. Please allow him or anyone else with a blue bucket to enjoy this day, Taylor wrote. The post has been shared more than 148,000 times as of Sunday, and Taylor told the USA Today that her son has been practicing all year for October 31st.
Awesome. I love that.
At that point, I was like, he's going to enjoy it and make some memories, and he's going to feel normal. I just want him to be able to grab his bucket and go. Shows a bucket. Taylor said she wanted to use the blue bucket after she and Luke tried to trick-or-treat last year. And she said people were just being friendly by trying to encourage Luke to talk, but he was getting frustrated. It was just too much. It was like an overload for him. They weren't being rude at all. Just trying to get kids to enjoy the holiday. And I had to be like, hey, my son is not being rude. He's very particular with candy. Most of the feedback from the post has been positive, she said. Moms are reaching out to me saying, I'm going through the same thing, or my son is 18, and we've been through this. Let me jump forward a little bit. Kristen Roth, Chief Marketing Officer for Autism Society of America, said in the statement that the idea to use blue buckets is an example of creating an adaptive, enjoyable experience for children with autism. While blue Halloween buckets are not standard practice, we have seen individuals with autism and families create various messaging to indicate that someone has autism and may communicate differently. Jump forward a little bit. Halloween's a wonderful thing, blah, 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 blah. Here we go. The organization recommended using Halloween, making sure a Halloween plan is in place. If going out for Halloween is not an option, the Autism Society of America recommends throwing a Halloween party at home. Consider throwing a party, blah, blah, blah. It's great, though, but my son liked to trick-or-treat as he got a little older. More, I mean, listen, you tell a kid, let's say he's 12 and he has autism, but you're like, listen, we're going to walk around and everybody's going to give you candy. Yeah, he's down.
Yeah.
He's interested. Now, he's nonverbal, so, you know, having to explain that at 25 houses, hey, he can't talk versus, yeah, it's shorthand, a way to be like, yeah, he's nonverbal. It's great, I think. It's great.
That's awesome. Spread the word and
get those blue Halloween jack-o'-lanterns. Yeah, plastic ones. Buckets. Yeah. Yeah, it's like little, it's the blue buckets that are like shaped like jack-o'-lanterns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we did in the news.
We did it. Did we do another episode?
I think we did.
We did it. We totally did it.
I think this counts.
We read a bunch. We read too much. I'm sorry, folks.
There was a lot of reading.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, next episode.
Next episode, we're going to get a sponsor called Hooked on Phonics, and we're going to really learn how to read.
We're just going to get Stephen Hawking's old voice thing. He's not using it.
Wow, not a bad idea.
And just get that to read it, you know? It's going to be great.
Just do a voice to text.
This guy just spilled coffee. All over
his shirt. I just poured coffee on myself for some reason.
He's like, we got this. I'm going to pour coffee on my chest.
Wow, that's the episode's over. I'm starting a wet t-shirt contest by myself here in Graham's apartment. Guys, thank you so much for listening. This week, I'll be co-headlining the Vancouver Yuck Yucks recording an album. Come out if you are
Oh, yeah? I didn't know
in
that.
Town. I told you about it last week.
I don't pay attention.
Show's Thursday, Friday, to Saturday, and then I'll be back in New York City until for another month or so. Follow me on social media, Kirk Smith Comedy. on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I appreciate your follows. I'm moving more towards Instagram. But jump on there and give me the old follow.
Yeah, yeah.
Both you, Graham.
I'm at Instagram K. Instagram Cracker. Instagram K.
Love it.
Yep. And I'm going to be in town for a bit. I'm going to be in Chicago.
That's right.
In 2 weeks. That's going to be fun.
You got your tickets booked.
Yeah, last time I was there, we had a couple autastics come out, coming out again, and I want to see all of you this time. This is going to be a comedy bar on November 7, 8, 9. Come out, 7, 8, 9, comedy bar. It's going to be a party. Actually, that's a lie. It's 8, 9, 10. 8, 9, 10.
Pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, November. Come party. And that's it. Also go to patreon.com and donate. Be a patron of the arts. And it's patreon.com/autastic. It is safe. It is secure. It is what all podcasts do. And we would appreciate it. And I think that's it.
That's it, guys. Have a great week. You can do it.
Well, you can't, but everyone's just a little